gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, welcome into The Dean's List. Glad to be with you today. Had lunch with a friend just a few days ago, and he said, hey, why don't you talk about Franklin Graham? And he's calling for a boycott of pro-gay companies and this, that, and the other. And I said, well, I don't know. Do we really need to? He said, yeah. So I'm going to talk about it for just a few minutes. Anyway, this from Charisma News. Not going to read too much, but essentially, as I've said, urging a boycott. This is Franklin Graham. And, you know, the deal is this. Do we want to call for a public boycott? We're Christians. There are companies that involve themselves in things that we don't agree with. Do we want to call for public boycotts? Or do we want to quietly just make our own choices in terms of where we shop, where we don't shop, where we eat, where we don't eat? I think that's a big question. That's something I want to talk about for just a few minutes. Personal boycotts, we all need to make those choices. I'm going to go ahead and encourage you. You know of something that's happening somewhere. You know a company that's standing against the Lord Jesus Christ. A company that's tearing down the very fabric of the culture in which we've been placed. It's tearing down truth, tearing down morality. Well, then sure, there are lots of places that I just don't go. Lots of places I don't shop. Lots of places I don't eat. I don't broadcast it. If somebody asks me, I'll certainly tell them. It's not that I'm hiding it. It's not that it's a secret. But the issue is this. We all have to make those choices, and it might be small, but nevertheless, we make them. But how about institutionalization of boycotts? That's a big word. What I'm trying to get at is this. Should we say, okay, let's all Christians boycott this? Here's a question. When we boycott someone, when we call for public boycott, what are we doing? Well, we're applying economic pressure. That's what we're doing. We're saying, look, unless you change your policy, we're not going to shop there. We're not going to support you. And this is, well, this is the Christian block, as it were. And there again, while I want individual Christians to make these good choices, we don't want to support folk who stand against the Lord or against truth or morality, as I said. But at the same time, when we call for everyone, well, what we're doing is we're fighting with a carnal weapon. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what Paul says to the Corinthians. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. Well, what are they? Well, they're spiritual. And because they're spiritual, they're mighty. They're powerful. What do? Well, they pull down strongholds. They tear down ideas that exalt themselves, or ideas that are exalted against the knowledge of God. And that's why, of course, we're to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. We want to call others to do the same. But we fight with prayer. We fight with, well, conversation. We fight with the gospel message, that kind of thing. And I think part of the issue is this. So often we set ourselves up as adversaries with those who don't know the Lord. And while there's a sense in which we're opposed to one another, we want to reach them for Christ. That's our message. That's our reason for being, as it were, to glorify God and to reach others for Christ. And so, listen, I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about rolling over. But I'm talking about thinking about what we do, thinking about how we do things. Now, this is Franklin Graham. Boy, you're calling out Franklin Graham. I'm not trying to call out Franklin Graham. He's done more ministry than I've done. The Lord's used him in a mighty, mighty way. Don't agree with everything theologically with him or his father. But I tell you what, God's used these men. So, no, I'm not calling them out, not throwing rocks, not throwing stones. just using this as an opportunity to have a conversation about how to be salt and light in this world. Now, there are things that I've said that folk could take issue with, and they can use those things that I've said to launch into conversation about how to be salt and light in this world. I hope they'll do that, whether they agree with me or disagree with me. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be dialoguing. We need to be sharpening one another. We need to be encouraging one another, admonishing one another, spurring one another on to love and good works. Now, there's a couple of quotes from this particular piece on Franklin Graham that I wanted to point out. And I don't know, it might sound, Gary, like I'm throwing rocks, but I don't want it to. So you can admonish me if you like.
Or all right. I'll stand by right over here.
Thank you, brother. You can calm me down or you can say, no, you got a point. But listen to this. Apparently, this is from Franklin Graham himself. He says, have you ever asked yourself, how can we fight the tide of moral decay that's being crammed down our throats by big business, the media, and the gay and lesbian community? He wrote this on Facebook. Well, I think that's a question. You know, how can we fight? Well, my answer is, well, how about the gospel? And again, it's not a criticism per se of what he's advocating, which is a boycott. I think it's Wells Fargo was right. One of the companies that was mentioned.
The bank.
Mm-hmm. The bank. But, you know, I wonder in our culture, in our Christian culture, if sometimes we do develop the mindset, okay, because there's this proliferation of immorality, this proliferation of anti-God, we've got to stand up and do something. Well, we do need to stand up and do something. But that's the question. What do we need to stand up and do? Do we need to, you know, sort of fight fire with fire and use carnal weapons? Or do we need to pray more? Do we need to share the gospel more? That's kind of where I'm coming from.
I think it's interesting because I see kind of two things here. Mm-hmm. Like the situation with Cracker Barrel and Duck Dynasty. Remember, Cracker Barrel pulled all the Duck Dynasty stuff out, so we're not going to have all of that. And all of a sudden, they got a pushback boycott, per se. People saying, well, I'm not coming to eat here if that's the way you're going to act. And suddenly, they put it back in and said, you know what? We acted kind of hastily, and it's now back in our stores.
Sure.
And fine. And now it's business as usual. But a lot of times we see other boycotts, and I don't know whether they work that well. I know some have, and maybe others have not. My concern is sometimes we get into a boycott a week, you know.
I
don't even know where I can get gas now because I got to boycott this and that. But I like what you said, but can we do both?
Yeah.
Can we pray? Can we obviously witness to these executives and to others that might have influence over that? I mean, that'd be the best thing.
Yeah.
The guy at the top, you know, gets saved. He may decide to change all the things from the top down. But can we pray? Can we, you know, witness? And can we also say, you know what? This has gone over the line, and I just cannot, as a Christian, put my money or do business with this particular company. They've gone too far.
Yeah, that's it. There are several, as I said, businesses, companies that I don't do business with any longer. I'm not going to mention them on the air. But, you know, I think, too, something you said about the Cracker Barrel issue, again, I'm saying, look, okay, let's don't call for this, you know, boycott, all this economic pressure. But at the same time, you've got some loyal customers there at Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. They do something like pulling the Duck Dynasty things. There's certainly nothing wrong with saying, okay, voicing your concern to the Cracker Barrel management or whatever and saying, you know, I'm not going to come here anymore. You're not being ugly about it. You're not.
Right.
And they hear from their customers.
Sure.
I don't want to say, okay, I'm going to make a blanket statement all the way, you know, no institutional boycott ever. But there again, I think caution, I think wisdom, I think let's be careful, let's examine each case. That's part of what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is. I mean, it's a business world, and people are in business. And And if the thing, like with the Cracker Barrel, somebody said, well, you know, if you're going to do this, there are other places I can go eat.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cracker Barrel, but you know what? I can eat over here.
Yeah.
And they responded and said, you know what? Maybe we, you know, that is, why are we attacking our customers in this way? And, you know, we don't need to be involved in this at all. Let's just go back to how we were. Well, the bank, Wells Fargo Bank, is also a company.
Mm-hmm.
That, now, they do business with not only people like you and I, but also huge corporations, and they're a nationwide bank.
Yep.
So some people might say, well, you know, what difference is it going to make if I pull my account out of Wells Fargo? They're not going to change just because of that. But
Yeah. But
the Billy Graham Association,
sure,
they did. They said, we're moving ours. Yeah. That's a pretty big association.
Oh, yeah.
And as others start to do that, perhaps somebody will say, you know, these are customers. Are we running off customers that we really don't need to?
Right, right.
And so I don't know, Paul. Maybe you can.
Well, I think what would be wonderful, and I'll pray for this, is if more and more Christians would think about these things and the personal choices that they make. You know, rather than saying, okay, the Southern Baptist Convention a number of years ago, they called for a boycott of Disney. Well, again, it was like the SBC against Disney. And, you know, you get a lot of bad press out of that. You know, maybe you're not advancing the gospel. But what if a large number of Christians, you know, begin to be a little bit more discerning, and all of a sudden, you know, people see the bottom line shrinking, and then they do the research and they figure out what's happening? I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'll mention this. Again, nobody throw rocks at me, but I don't eat at Hardee's anymore. I love Hardee's biscuits. Please. Is there anything better?
Biscuits and gravy.
I know it. Is there anything better in the morning sometimes? But their commercials are just so offensive. And so I've made a personal choice. I'm not going to eat at Hardee's anymore until they change their... Now, is anybody else making that choice? I don't know.
My son did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Amen. And am I saying that if you eat at Hardee's, you're in sin? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying look, it always comes up. If you boycott this, boycott that, you know, where are you going to shop? Look, I understand that. We live in a world, and probably everywhere we go, there's something we're going to find objection to. So I'm not looking, you know, under every nook and cranny. I'm just saying, when there's something that's just out there in your face and bolt, we make those choices. And what would be wonderful, is if other Christians were to make those same kinds of choices. This from the article again. This was funny to me in a sense, and I say things that are funny as well. But anyway, I'm not throwing rocks, but I did want to bring this up. He said, every day it's something else. Tiffany started advertising wedding rings for gay couples. Wells Fargo Bank is using the same-sex couple in their advertising. There are more. But it's dawned on me that we don't have to do business with them. Well, that's what I'm saying, Christian. It ought to dawn on you that you personally, you know, I'm not saying let's call for the boycott, but I'm saying you personally, that's right. You don't have to do business with them. That's part of my message. Anyway, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll probably shift gears. You're listening to The Dean's List. Stay tuned.
The gospel.
The culture around us is certainly changing, but God's Word remains constant now and always. What can the church do in the face of a society in decay? On the next edition of Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street welcomes scholar and author Dr. Russell Moore to discuss these questions and others from his latest book, Onward. Don't miss a moment of Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hey, yo, every pizza chain claims to have the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. But Torelli's Pizza in the University Square Shopping Center, they've got the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. And they're locally owned. Check out their reviews on Yelp. A native New Yorker says, right texture and taste. Amount of sauce and cheese, perfect. So, next time you're looking for a yummy New York-style pizza, you need to go to Torelli's Pizza. Visit torellispizza.com for their daily specials.
This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller with Plan First. When I co-founded Plan First over 30 years ago, I had no idea the journey God had for me. I am burdened more than ever that Christians be good stewards of the resources God has put them in charge of. They should be prudent investors, minimizing income and estate taxes, and giving to Kingdom Ministries now, not just in their will. If you'd like to see if Plan First is a good fit for you, call me at 233-7405, or if you are out of the Greenville area, 1-800-588-7526.
Pittman Heating and Air in Seneca has been serving the upstate for over 40 years. As a Train dealer, they install Train heat pumps, gas furnaces, ductless heating and air conditioning systems, and geothermal systems. Their NATE-certified technicians provide 24-hour emergency service for all brands. They're located on Highway 123 in Seneca and online at pittmanac.com. That's pittmanac.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archived broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to shift gears here in just a moment, but just to clarify on the previous story, you know, Wells Fargo, what they did, talking about commercials, you know, I mentioned Hardee's, apparently, and I haven't seen the commercial, Gary, I know you've seen it, but...
I saw it online, that's
okay.
How I found it.
All right, well, essentially, a couple doing sign language, and they're helping a young child, and eventually, as they go through the course of the commercial, they introduce the child to, is it a young boy, his new, whatever it is, but they introduce the child to...
I think it's a young girl.
Okay, to her new mothers,
her new
plural.
Mothers.
You know, and so as you pointed out, this is a bank, you know, and basically what they're saying is this is what we believe in. I mean, the whole gay marriage issue has nothing to do with what they do as a business, and yet you know they're saying here we are, this is who we are, and so yeah. I am offended by that. I'm offended by those kinds of commercials, just like the Hardee's commercials that are running, and there are others. And so, yeah, we won't be doing business with Wells Fargo. So, I hate to say it, Gary. I don't even know where I do know a couple of banks, but my wife's got so much money hidden all over the place. I have no clue. But no,
yeah, and a can in the backyard. We buried it in the backyard.
Yeah, that's
in a can.
That's right. She doesn't have a lot hidden all over the place, but she does keep the books for us. She majored in business in college, and she minored in accounting and also in real estate. And, you know, she does the taxes. She knows what it's all about. I majored in philosophy, so I just sit around and think all day about what she's doing. So that's what philosophers do, Gary. But anyhow, praise God for my wife. Here's something that I want to mention. We can shift gears, by the way. Let me remind you, this particular broadcast is live. Not everything I do is live, but this one is. So if you got a question or comment about anything at all, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And what reminded me of that is the phone started ringing. So I've got Gene on the line. So, Gene, welcome into the broadcast. Go right ahead.
You know, I only caught a little bit of your conversation. I guess you referred to Wells Fargo and their open or public stand supporting the homosexual lifestyle.
Yes.
And I'm sure you fellows are very, very aware of the drug industry. I used to work as a pharmaceutical research scientist for quite a while, and over the years, what I've certainly noticed was their the politically correct positions, and certainly they presented themselves two ways. The one company I worked with was founded here in America, and they would raise the American flag when the American holidays or observances came. But they were very global, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, they made it very aware, us very aware that they are in a globally competitive market. And I think that's how everything is going now. And you, brother, you're aware of it, that sure. We're headed into a global world order. So it does make sense that no country is going to be an isolated island in the sea,
right.
Except perhaps one day Israel, and real soon. But what I noticed in all this is that there were two big movements, and I'm taking you off track a little bit, so forgive me.
That's okay.
Two big movements that I very, very much began to fear, and I still fear. Number one is the PETA movement. Not people eating tasty animals. That's who I am. But people for the ethical treatment of animals. Because
right.
in the work that I did, we used animal models. We were doing experimental pathology work.
Mm-hmm.
And we required a specialty bred, inbred genetic lines of different animals of different species to study the infectious diseases that we were working with as predictors of what we could do with respect to drug therapy, etc.
Yes.
Another group is the homosexual movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because they have, since HIV came on the scene and has drastically affected this population group, and still does, by the way, they have been very adamant, politically, demanding a cure. A cure at any cost. Well, that cost, by the way, brother, has been at the expense of research into a variety of other diseases, autoimmune diseases, cancer, on and on I could go. I mean, even to the point of moving what I see as valuable research dollars from bona fide biomedical, organically based, physiologically based research to so-called pop psychology research, I call it. To help validate the homosexual mentality as normal in the public sector. So where the American people are being, and I think the world at large is being deprived of honest research in this regard.
Yes.
But this is where the collusion of the two groups come in, the PETA group and the homosexual group. Because the HIV, there is no valid animal model for HIV. Maybe perhaps the simian immunodeficiency models and maybe mouse models of retroviruses that cause immune suppression. But the biomedical research community is reluctant to use them. They want they have a willing population that will stand there as guinea pigs and to be used for research with these experimental drugs. And once you have this ongoing, now we have a movement where well, you know, how about Dr. Mengele? We'll go ahead and use human subjects for such research and perhaps even more.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
Well, I am aware of I'm not aware of everything you've mentioned other than the fact that animals, for example, are being put on the same plane as humans in a number of cases.
Right.
And you've got, what was the story in the news not too long ago with talking about the simians, the great apes maybe having being declared as persons. And because they're being declared persons, they have the same rights as human beings. And so on the one hand, go ahead.
Back in 2000, I believe Spain passed a in the Spanish Constitution recognizing apes as humans.
Yeah. And so this is obviously contrary to a biblical worldview. We don't want to be cruel to animals on the one hand, but on the other, it's human beings that are created in the image of God. It's human beings that are to take dominion over the earth, and animal research or research, you know, medical research using animals is certainly, to me, something that that is required if we're going to help the most people in the quickest way.
I don't mean to cut you off short, but I also would like for you and maybe the audience to understand that the animals that we work with were very, very unique. I mean, some people think I would go out at night and rob somebody's dog to do a virus infection study. No, not at all. These animals, over many, many years of breeding and genetics research, were developed. And these particular animals in and of themselves, if left out to the wild captivity, would not survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're bred specifically for research purposes.
Sure.
For their characteristics.
Right. And just hearing you talk, you know, we would want to be as humane as possible. But at the same time, you're going down a real slippery slope when you start having groups like PETA push the things that they're pushing, and then, you know, rights and to animals and declaring them persons. You're really hurting human beings. And as you say on the other side, it's a real shame when certain research projects or things like AIDS become a political game rather than, you know, scientists doing that honest research. There are lots and lots and lots of things that, you know, scientists need to be working on. And anyway, it's a big issue. I'd love to do an entire broadcast or a series of broadcasts on it sometime, but, you know, I'll get into it. I'll do the research, but I appreciate your comments, Gene. You've put something on the table for us.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this is the deal. You know, we're living in a world where all of a sudden the foundations are being, you know, ripped apart. And again, it's not because we're trying to be selfish. It's not because, you know, well, our politics are better than someone else's politics. The real issue, of course, is there is a creator. You know, God is real. And God is, you know, created everything. And he has created human beings in his image. And that means we're to glorify him. We do that by worshiping him and by reflecting his character toward others. And so not only do we love him, but we love others. And that means we want to treat animals properly. I mean, you go back to the Proverbs, you know, and it speaks against mistreating your animals. At the same time, medical research, you know, the use of animals for medical research, biomedical research, is not mistreatment in my estimation. What we're trying to do is the best that we can in a fallen world. We live in a world where disease and, you know what I'm trying to say, and so we need to do the research. And this is part of, to me, the Dominion mandate, subduing the earth, just as much as drilling for oil or building computers or building rockets is medical research and advancement. And, you know, what we want to do is glorify God by making the world a better place. How do we do that? Economic prosperity, medical advancements, you know, good government, those kinds of things. The biblical worldview needs to be brought to bear in every single area of life. And this is what, you know, I'm calling for, among others, Gene as well. You know, Christians everywhere, let's think a little bit more. Let's not merely float through life. I don't have anyone in mind. I don't have a group in mind. I just know that for many, many years, I just floated through life, just sort of enjoying things, you know. It's like taking a swim. I'm just kind of floating around. But you know what? It depends on where you're swimming. Depends on what's out there, Gary. Here's a big boat coming my way. I got to figure out what to do now, right? So I want Christians to think and to think biblically. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to think myself. And the more and more we think, well, the more and more effective we're going to be in this fallen world for the good of others, even those that disagree with us, for their good and God's glory. Join me next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.